talking about the hunters and gatherers who crossed the Bering Strait and began to filter their way down into the Americas. And it took many, many years, of course, but eventually they did penetrate all parts of the Western Hemisphere. In fact, evidence shows us that by 9,500 BC, human beings were in all parts of the Western Hemisphere. You'll find on this particular table the names of the different culture eras. And notice that we cut across here, we have North America, Mesoamerica, and South America cutting across. We got as far as archaic times and the development of domesticated maize when we were together before. In other words, we were well into the archaic cultural era. Now, the interesting thing, when you look at this as a parallel of three areas, you see that up in North America, it doesn't seem like much is going on. Well, actually, those people have such abundant game that they don't have to do anything but hunt and gather. It's when the pinch comes and there are no animals that they can take easily, and they have to go far afield for plants, wild plants, that actually they begin to see the need for developing an agriculture. So that never happened in North America because they have this wonderful grasslands with the bison. And so they just continued hunting and gathering. But that was not true in Mesoamerica. Now, somebody asked me the last time we were together what we meant by Mesoamerica. And I... Grace, you want to help me? So I dug out this road map. And Mesoamerica covers the area, this part of Mexico, coming across here like this. Also the part of Mexico that's the Yucatan Peninsula, Guatemala, and then the western slice.
Where is the U.S. border on that map?
Right here.
Thank you.
Here's Texas. And here you have the Horn of Mexico. We have Guatemala, we have Belize, and a little slice of Honduras here. This area right here makes up Mesoamerica. And that was the area in which the great civilizations of North America developed during what we call the Classic Period. Thanks, Greg. So, in the Archaic Period, which supposedly ends about the year 2000 there, if you follow it to the right, there are lots of things going on. Just a lot of things going on, more than they believed in earlier years. And I put them up here so that I wouldn't have to write them, and I think you can all see these. Can you people see? We began with the hunters and gatherers, and then over thousands of years, we got tribal groups. Eventually, those tribal groups developed into village cultures. And then, in these years right here, and if you find them on your time, your table going across there, and then go on down to Mesoamerica, you can see that it shows you that right close there is the Olmec culture coming on down from there. By this time, these village cultures had all of these things. They had focal ceremonial centers. They had stratified social system that allowed them to develop specialization in various areas. They had the artisan group. They had the group that were the farmers. They had the group that were the laborers. They had an elite organization that governed. They had a priesthood. So by that time, they had a stratified social system And that permitted them to have a large number of people to work, to do just plain old man hours of labor. And that's how many of those great pyramids were built, you see, making use of that large labor force that they had. And they were able to have it because there was an elite governing system in here. Now you see, we're a long way back here. They also had intensive agriculture. They had three products that they grew that formed the basis of their food group and were really the reason why they were able to develop an urban civilization, because they could feed their people. They had beans and corn and squash. They raised other things, but these were the backbone of the agricultural system. Some evidence of irrigation has been found in the village centers. Then they also had monumental stonework. Of course, this is an example of monumental stonework, but there was monumental stonework earlier than this. And it was found, strangely enough, down along the Guatemalan coast, which tells us that in these village cultures, they were doing a little bit of trading too, moving back and forth in the area and exchanging products. They also have found housing compounds. So your village cultures right here have the things that would allow the civilization to develop from them. And of course, the Olmec were the first civilization to develop from a village culture. We were talking yesterday about root systems. And you know how you have the really tiny little pieces. And if you've ever pulled anything up by the roots, you know what it looks like. But eventually it comes into different tap roots. And then you have the major piece of growth coming out of it. Well, all of these things, even the smallest ones, fed in their genetic systems of industry, of imagination, until you had it feeding into the mother culture of civilizations, which was the Olmec. Let's find out a little bit about these people and where their village culture developed and how it happened to produce what it did produce. I'm not a real artist, but I'm going to draw you a picture of Mexico here because you can't really see on that one. You know, you just have this big horn coming down and you have Yucatan and here you come along over here. That's close enough. Looks like Mexico. Now right here is an area of very swampy land. The wettest land in Mexico, in fact. And it's just a little arc right here. And they tell us that the extent is really no more than 200 miles that way. And it's 55 miles deep. Very rainy. It has no actual dry season. They say that the rainy season is from May through November, but when November is over, it doesn't get dry. Cold winds come in over the Gulf and it drizzles, and they have really no distinctly dry season. Now, I'm going to get my notes out here so I don't tell you more than you want to know. You know how that goes? People tell you more than you want to know. And we really don't have time to dig into this culture really deeply, but I would like you to know enough about it so that you would be interested in reading more about it, and that you might even be intrigued into going down there and looking at it. Because it's very accessible to us. Now the Olmec people, we're going to assume now that we've scooted over here and find on your table there that along about, looks like 12,000 BC, 1200 BC or 1000 BC, the Olmec civilization emerges. You're down in Mesoamerica, and you find O-L-M-E-C down there. And we've progressed from the archaic into the early formative cultural era. Sometimes that's called pre-classic. They do that to confuse you, see? But that's the same thing, the very same thing. So here we are at about 1,000 or 1,200, however you want to see it. We get different dates. This one comes down to 1,000 BC. And these people, the Olmec, the hallmark of their civilization is their art. And their art tells us everything we know about them. Everything we know about these people, really, we know about through their art. They had many types of art. The interesting thing about it is that except for the stone heads, which are supposed to be images of their rulers, which I find very hard to believe, but that's what the holding is, that these are probably images of their rulers. The reason that's hard for me is that all of them look so much alike. While they're different, they still look much alike. They always look like they have a football helmet, and they have the negroid sort of features. They have now this part of them looks like the jaguar, you know, with its curvy mouth. But anyway, that is the only thing that is not religious in nature. All their other art is religious in nature. And it was once thought that the only god in their pantheon was the jaguar. But in 1969, they found up along the coast of Veracruz here, just up the line from here, they uncovered an artifact that disproved that. It showed on the carvings that they found that these people also had other gods in their pantheon. They had the harpy eagle. These are all tropical forest creatures. They had the caiman. They had the serpent. They had the shark. And of course they had the jaguar. Now all the indigenous people of the Americas, no matter where you go, they all had this idea of an animal and a human being an entity. In other words, there was always an animal in their pantheon of gods. That's quite common. They had, in particularly pre-Columbian times, they identified humans with animals. And all you have to do is think of your West Coast Indians and the totem poles that they had and things of that nature. Well, it was the same down here. They had the same type of feeling about animals and how important they were. Well, what kind of art did these people produce? They produced monumental stonework. And it was in the form of giant heads, also in the form of stela, which carried messages on it. And we have some marvelous representations of these that I will show you that have been taken to a museum in Jalapa, which is up in this area right here. So they had the stela, they had the monumental heads. They also carved in jade. And they had no metal tools. They traded for iron, but they used iron for mirrors. And all of their carving was done with reeds and wet sand. And when you look at what they produced, it's hard to believe that. Now this type of thing, they probably used stone hammers, but everything they did with jade was carved with reeds and wet sand. They also developed a system of making small hollow clay figures. And I've read various places where they think that maybe those were trade goods of some sort. Small hollow figures. And that's a bigger trick sometimes than making the solid figures. So it was quite a craft in pottery. They were known principally for their art, but also for their agriculture, an extension of what they were doing here. And they developed a system of bar and dot measurement. And this was the first evidence of a calendar system. I'll show you one of the ceremonial centers called Tres Zapotes, where they found the stela that had the bar and dot measurement on it. And of course, this was a specific insofar as date was concerned. But one corner was missing out of it. They had the stela. but one corner is missing out of it. You see these bars, and the bars stand for five, and then there'll be dots, and they stand for one. But there was a little corner out of it here. And Matthew Sterling, the man who was doing the excavating, he estimated that that missing coefficient was seven. And, oh, they had such a terrible fit about this, all the experts, that you just couldn't do that, you shouldn't do that. And not too long ago, a farmer was plowing his cornfield, and he turned up the missing corner. And guess what it said? Seven. It said seven, so he was right about that. The Olmec also had the beginning of a glyphic system, which was a system of naming things, also of leaving records of what happened at what time. Now let's look at their ceremonial centers. The very earliest one is in this little ark, of course. It's over in this corner, kind of. And it was called San Lorenzo. I've never been there. I don't know why I didn't get there, because I did the others. I didn't get there, and it's supposed to be a fantastic place. The earliest datings that they have here are 1200 BC. And the thing about it that makes it intriguing is that it's built on a high plateau. And the plateau is 150 feet this direction, and 21 feet of it is added on. It wasn't natural. And the thing is long. It's almost a mile long, this plateau, high plateau. And it's about a quarter of a mile wide. So you need to think about the labor force that it would require to haul in all that clay and pile that up. Then up here, they have found 200 house mounds up here. Now they know that this was where the people who were at the upper level of the social system, the priests, the elite rulers, and so on. Because the compounds, or the area for the common people, were down below this high plateau. But there were a number of stone heads there. I never can remember how many. I think it's nine were found there. I guess it doesn't make any difference how many were found there, but a bunch. Only eight. were found there. But it must be a tremendous thing to see. I've seen photographs of it. Now, they had monumental pieces here of basalt. They had stela. They had these colossal heads. They had other figures, very strange ones with configurations that were different from the ordinary. They made massive stone altars. And always there was, it seemed to be a jaguar in there someplace, in their altars. A stylized front, perhaps, with the mouth, a little niche, and a human sitting in it. So they had lots of basalt. Now you remember what kind of land this is? What kind? It's swamp. It's swamp. And it's rivers that flood periodically. Of course, they bring in soil. It makes a wonderful place to grow things. But in order to get the basalt, there's only one little place here called the Tushla Mountains. And they're not very high. I mean, you look at them and you say, so those are the Tushla Mountains, you know, that kind of thing. But to get that basalt, they had to go up the river, get the basalt, put it in a boat, come down another river, and bring it down, because the two rivers didn't have any connection. They brought it in to San Lorenzo, and then to get it to where they wanted it, they had to put it on rollers and haul it. They had no wheel. Wouldn't have done them any good to have a wheel. They didn't have any horses, you see. All they had was human labor, so the roller worked very well for them. So that's how they brought the things in, which is an amazing thing, and again, it points to the large labor force that they had to have. Yes, please do interrupt.
Could Wonder why your civilization would develop in that very unfavorable spot.
I'm so glad you said that. I really am, because that's what you're supposed to think. Why on earth would they put themselves there? Well, a very famous historian named Toynbee said that. I'm sure you've heard of him. He said that in order for a village culture to develop into a civilization, there had to be a challenge that was strong enough to move them ahead into an urban civilization where they would have to have an organization, where they would have to be productive, but not strong enough so that it would kill it in its cradle, he said, or paralyze it. But there had to be a challenge in order for that to happen. Now, just for fun, what challenge here do you think they had?
Weather.
What?
Weather.
You bet.
It won't be ground.
The irrigation training of the grace.
They had lots of challenge, didn't they? Now, this is not a disease-free area here either, you know. It's swampy. There are bugs and mosquitoes like everything there. So they had their challenge. Their challenge, of course, involved their agriculture. See, they had to know when to plant it so that it didn't get wiped out. They had to know how they were going to combat this business of flooding. So I wonder why.
Do they have any idea why they added 21 feet to that mesa there?
No idea. And you see, all we know about these people.
It must have been a good reason.
Well, they always wanted to get closer to the gods. Mm-hmm. Closer to the gods. And it represented, in a way, I suppose, an accomplishment of a ruler. Mm-hmm. Now, they did say that it would take many, many man hours to haul in that many cubic yards of earth to do that. But the idea was to get above the thing that was low, you see.
Was there a motor on it, or where did they get it? Where did
they get it? Just a plain old meadow coming up to it.
So they had to haul that?
They had to haul that in, too. Yeah. See? They had to haul that in, too. And the one that picked up and flourished after this one died, this one, now 900 B.C., only 300 years, right? It was forcibly destroyed. And those stone heads were beaten on, and the statues were broken, and some things were ground down to get... It was done in anger, obviously. And then coming out from this plateau, there are little finger-like areas of raised material. And they rolled those stone heads down over there, dumped them over the edge, and covered them up with earth.
Who was the they that did that?
We don't know. Why did they do it? That's a good question, though.
Well, I was going to say, with regard to the founding, it would seem to me like maybe a message from the gods somewhere to Tenochtitlan.
Could have been, couldn't it? They said, build it higher. Right. They were very spiritual people, all of the people of those years. They had strong belief in an afterlife. They had strong belief that what they did was guided by the gods. You see. So that could very well have been that one of the priests got a message of some sort, and that's why it happened. We don't really know why it happened that way. Why do you think they destroyed it?
It was the neighbors that destroyed it, or themselves?
We don't know. Could it have been somebody within the group?
Probably an invader.
Could have been an invader. Who else might it have been?
The people that had to move all the dirt.
You bet. It could have been internal, couldn't it? Because whenever you have a stratified society, you know, you have the people that are real happy, you know, they're cracking a little whip and everybody's doing what they say, and then you have the dissatisfied.
Well, did they have a cult of sacrifice and religious wars to get victims?
They did have. Mm-hmm. They had and I'm not sure whether this, I think this has to be on carvings, that they fought with war clubs.
Mm-hmm.
During that time.
I think the Tlaxcalteca were always sort of ready to jump on the Aztecs because of that.
Well, the Aztecs, if you look, you know, that is, we so often think of that. I'm so glad you said that. Find your little bar there that has the Olmec on it and go a long, 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 long way. And there are the Aztecs. You see them way over there.
2,500 years.
And they were only, they really only had a flourishing civilization for a very short time. But they were very powerful at that time. But you see, all of these, they carried things on from one group to another. This was not isolated, you see. We found, let's see if I can make this stick. I just made it stick a little while ago. While this was happening here, everything else wasn't a void. You know. Down here in a place south of Mexico City, in the valley of Oaxaca, there were village cultures that were emerging into full-blown civilizations. The Olmec were the first. There were others that were moving ahead. Now, they moved ahead at different rates, but they were moving ahead, all of them. So this isn't a cultural background. There are things going on down in this area. Well, San Lorenzo is gone, right? It's gone. And, as usually happens, another city picks up the torch and carries on, and it's La Venta. I better put Mexico back here. That's not quite right, but that's close enough. And it's right here on the Gulf, and it's La Venta. I wanted to go to La Venta for so many years because that particular area had a real attraction for me. That's where many altars were found, and also large stone heads. And eventually I got there, and there's not much left. Not much left there, because they discovered oil right about there. And of course, when they started moving in their oil rigs and everything, away went, just like it does in your towns right now. When they want to do something with the telephone system, they come along and they just chop a chunk out of your trees, don't they? Or they dig up whatever. So in the name of progress, many things go by the board, and they did there also. Now, La Venta did a little bit better than San Lorenzo. It lasted a few more years, about to that time. Let's see what I was going to tell you about La Venta. So I wouldn't tell you more than you wanted to know. I think the reason that I really wanted to go there was that I had seen so many pictures of the big stone altars that they took out. And they stand about so high, and they're about yay wide. And there's a stylized jaguar here. And there's a person sitting in here. And he's holding that weird jaguar, half human, in his arms. And actually, they have decided that that thing he's holding in his arms is not a child that's ready for sacrifice, but that it was the emblem of their office, just like a scepter, because it's been found so many places and in that same type of situation. But they have these massive altars and have these very strange creatures that would have their heads sticking up in funny ways and very odd statuary here. Nothing like you have ever seen before. They had rectangular mosaic pavements. And the interesting thing about them was that what they did was they laid this pavement, and it was usually a mosaic of a jaguar. And they have it where you can see it, but it's been taken out of the place where it was. And then they would cover it up. They made it, and then they would cover it up. They covered it up with layers of colored soil, colored clay. And then maybe they put another one down after so many years, and they would cover it up. It was obviously an offering to the gods. It wasn't for human beings, you see, it was for the gods. And those stone mosaic pavements have been removed, were removed from the Leventa Pyramid, and they now are in an outdoor museum in an adjoining city. And you can walk along beside it and look at it and see it just the way it was.